So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to go to verse number 2. Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. I want someone, Brad, someone, not someone, I want Brad. Brad, would you get me a small 4-foot table? I want it to come and put it somewhere on this stage for me. I might want to take a nap a little bit during this message like some of you. And I want to have somewhere to lay down if I want to. Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, reading in verse number 2, and I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning, the one Jesus used. Yeah, I was waiting for some of that. All right. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. And I want you to underline this, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for not only what you did for me at Calvary, but what you do for me on an ongoing basis. And God, I thank you that today I have victory because you overcame every obstacle that was in my way. And I have the victory because you are my victor. The Lord, I give you thanks and I give you praise that I'm able to live a life free of sin, that I'm able to live a life that is free from the power of hell because you have won the victory for me. And I give you thanks and I give you praise in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning simply removing the quit factor. Removing the quit factor. There's a book that came out and then a movie that came out called The Lone Survivor. And I almost waited to preach this next weekend because it being Memorial Day weekend. And if you know me well enough, there's not too many people more patriotic than myself. I'm proud to be an American. No matter who's president or no matter who's governor, it's still the greatest country on the earth to live in. And we're privileged to live there. Now, that doesn't mean I stick my head in the sand and don't vote. I vote and do what I need to do to be a part of the society. And I try to educate myself and not just vote my conscience or not just vote my what my pocketbook wants. I vote what I believe who more closely represents what I believe that the Word of God says. Amen. Well, Brother Reed, I don't see anybody that represents the Word of God. And you're right. So I just go with the closest one I can get to. Amen. So, but with all that said, I almost preached this next Sunday because the Lone Survivor, I don't know how many saw the movie, but there was also a book. And it's a very interesting, I love the movie, I believe, who was it, Mark Wahlberg played Marcus Luttrell, who is this the author or the focus of this book. And he wrote it about a battle that took place in Afghanistan in 2006, some of you saw the movie, some of you may have read the book, but I want to just give you a synopsis real quickly, that where it is one of the deadliest day in the history of the Navy SEALs. 20 of our elite were killed that day, including a helicopter that tried to rescue them and went down as well. The author of the book, Marcus Luttrell, or Luttrell, however you pronounce it, was the lone survivor. But in the book, it takes the first few chapters and describes the events of the days in which it led up to the only survivor. But it did not just talk about that. The first part of the book talks about what it takes to be a Navy SEAL. Now, I don't know how many Navy SEALs we have in here. I know that we have some want-to-be, and just because you play one on a video game does not mean that you are one. Just want to go ahead and make that record right there. I do know a couple. One of the coolest weddings I've ever done was for a lieutenant of a SEAL team, and his groomsmen were his SEAL team. That was a very cool wedding. I'm not going to lie. And I thought, you know, that I was going to see these big burly men and, you know, muscle bound. But man, you know, to look at them, you would think that you could whoop them. I looked at one. I thought, I could take him. And then I figured, I realized he would probably hit me with one like finger somewhere and put like me in a trance or something. I don't know. Or kill me with a spoon. You know, I don't know. You know, I recognized that, man. But, you know, they wasn't looking that bad. They didn't look like they was bad. That's probably the problem. But anyway, but they were some bad dudes. It tells that if they qualify, this book tells that if they qualify, that they're sent to Coronado Beach in California. And there they begin phase one of a three-phase training regiment called BUDS. Now, I don't know what that stands for. You can tell me later. And a recruiter for the SEALs is quoted as saying, "You have to want the program." Now, I know that we got the Gwaltneys with us this morning, and we know that Tiger went through a SEER training, pretty much like the SEAL training, but not quite the same, but it was pretty intense. And so I want to base this message today on some of the things that I learned in the book, and also some of the things that I've learned in the book, the Bible, and I believe that there have a coronation. That in our text, it tells us that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know, we're facing a time in our nation and in our walk in America that we don't know how to endure anything. Because of instant everything, you know, we want appeal for this, appeal for that, and therefore we don't know how to endure. And I believe that that has crept in to the house of God, that we don't know how to endure our salvation and endure when we come into trouble. We think that if we serve God, that everything ought to be instantaneously. When we serve God, we think that everything ought to just be a tiptoe to the tulips, because by the way, we're saved, we have faith. But can I tell you that a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. And you've got to recognize that you're going to walk through some hell, if you will, if you're going to serve God for any length of time. And you've got to go ahead in your mind and in your spirit, remove the quit factor, that I'm not going to quit. I know in whom I am, and I know whose I am. And if I will just hold on to his unchanging hand, I might not know how, I might not know when, and I might not know where, but I know that God is going to bring me through this situation. He's going to bring me through my life, and when the smoke is cleared, I'll still be standing, because I'm on a good foundation. Now, we understand that point number one is this: mentally, well, I don't know where that's from. That's not my point, but anyway. But it is very good, the importance of values. Yeah, it's very good. Mentally, never give yourself the option to quit. Mentally, never give yourself the option to quit. Now, let me tell you a little bit of what I learned in this book. In this book, there is 25-week curriculum at BUDS, which is divided into three phases, to test the sailor's spirit and stamina. The first 8-week phase is known as the physical conditioning phase. The place is a strong emphasis on running. I'm out. We want you to run. I'm out. Am I running for some donuts? I'm out. Running, swimming, navigating the obstacle course, and basic water and life-saving skills. This phase pushes the body to its physical and mental limits. Trained medical technicians and instructors are with the students every step of the way. However, they are still pushed to their limits. During the first phase, it is a 2-month rigorous training process where they put your body through the most unbelievable testing and pushing your body to the point where you didn't think that it could go any further. And the body, or the program, and I want you to hear this, the program is designed to break the weak from the strong. It is designed to break the weak from the strong. And out of 150 qualifying members class, 2/3 of them won't make it. One of Luttrell's instructors said, what we're after and trying to do is get your mind, because your body can put up with a lot, but your mind is the weakest point. Which we go to Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the devil wants you to believe that you can't make it. The devil wants you to believe that you can't change your stripes. You were born this way, and I've come by to tell you that the devil is a liar. I've come by to tell you that, yeah, you can't change by yourself, but there is a God in Israel. And when he comes into your life, he knows how to cause your old things to pass away, and behold, all things become new. He knows how to bleed or to put his blood upon your life, and your old sins are washed away, and you become a new person, and then your mind is transformed. And if you will let your mind be transformed, your life will be transformed. And you've got to recognize that it's not just something about coming to church. Church is great, and if God is your father, the church ought to be your mother, but it is so much more than just coming to church. You got to come to church and enter in to the presence of God and let God transform your life. And they tell you, as you begin that if any part of the training that you're in gets too difficult, you have a quit option. There is a bell that you can ring. It's not quite like this one. That you can ring the bell at any given time and declare, I quit. I give up. I'm out. I can't take it. And they put the bell wherever they are training so that you can easily access the bell. Because they want you to recognize, if you don't want to be in it, if you're not mentally strong enough to take what they're putting you through, then you can exercise your quit option. And consequently, many do. If the pressure is too great, or the soreness in your body is too much, ring the bell. If you're tired of the abuse by the instructors, at some point in time you say, I can't take it anymore, there's a quit option. If at any time, if you're dining in the hall, there's a bell outside the dining hall that you can ring. There's a bell on the beach that you can ring. At every point, if there's a point in time that you says, I can't take it, you just ring the bell. You're exercising your quit options. And in doing so, you take your training helmet off, which has your name on it. You set it there, and you don't have to justify to anybody. You don't have to say why. Set your helmet off, and you're done. And you go back to doing, now this is key. You go back to doing what you were doing before you ever entered the program. My God, that'd preach right there. I mean, if there's any preach in y'all, y'all getting it right now. Don't let me get ahead of myself, Lord. But if there's any preaching you, you're already preaching your own message. If you were a cook, when you exercise to quit, you're going back to be a cook. If you were medical, you go back to be a medical. If you were a pilot, you go back to being a pilot. In this book, Marcus talked about this one man who had been with them through the whole first phase of the physical abuse. And they had stamina. They tested men. They emerged as an elite soldier. They looked like a SEAL from the beginning. They looked like they were part of the, looked like they were just one of the SEALs in the training, trying to help other people out. He was the first in the running. He was the first in the swimming. He was the first in treading water. He was the first in every aspect of the SEAL. He was Mr. SEAL. If you ever thought that a soldier, this young man, was a soldier, if there was ever anybody you thought you wanted watching your back in combat, this is the guy. He was physically stronger, and he was one of the best leaders. But about the third day, Marcus says, about the third day, he was shocked, and everybody else was shocked, because as they were on the beach, he saw this guy who had been the leader and the elite of everything start walking over to the bell. And Marcus cried out to the instructor, "Don't let him do this." Marcus cried out. He was going for the bell. "Don't let him quit. Let me talk to him first." And I thought this was interesting. Here's what the instructors told him. In all of our experience, if ever a man headed towards the bell, we've never had one that even if you talked him into turning around today, that he will eventually ring the bell, because in their mind, they've crossed a place where they decided to quit, and no matter what you say, they will eventually quit. Man, I begin to think about all the people I've talked into serving Jesus. I thought about all the people that decided they wasn't going to serve Jesus, or they were just going to backslide and get out. And I've thought about all the people that I've talked into. I've tried talked into staying with Jesus. And eventually, most of them phase out. Marcus said he learned something that day, and it's our point number two, that it was not a physical battle, but it was a mental battle. Now, let me tell you that your spiritual battle coincides with a mental battle. Because many of the times, our fight with the devil, he doesn't show up with a red suit on and horns and a forked tail with a pitchfork. He doesn't show up like that. Because, man, if he showed up like that, you and I could probably whoop him. You and I could fight him, because we would recognize who he is. But he shows up in fatigue. He shows up in disappointment. He shows up in tragedy. He shows up in all of these areas to try to break our mind and get us to quit. He said, "I decided that day on the beach that I would rather die on the beach than to give up and quit." The same is true for us in our spiritual walk. We need to understand that we are in a battle for our life. Our kids' life, and the enemy is going to throw everything that he can do to you to discourage you. The real battle is going on, not about your family, not about your financial problems, not about your sickness, not about your marriage. What we need to understand is that the devil is really after breaking your mind. He wants to break down your mind. break down your faith. Now, Pastor, this sounds like mind over matter. No. But see, the problem is so many Christians, we try to leave out our mind. We just think about Jesus and this out over here. No, it is here, baby. Listen, I know everything's going to be right when I get to heaven, but I need some things to be all right now. And in order for things to be all right now, I got to get some things straight in my mind. That's why I've got to read the Word of God. I spent 20 years listening to the philosophy and the logic of the world, and I've got to get this down into my spirit so that when things happen, I don't revert back to what I used to do, what I used to know, but I have a new norm, and it is stand up and see that the salvation of God is not only there, but it will hold during the tough times. He wants to break you down mentally so that you'll say, I'm done. He wants to break you down and says, I quit. I give up. He wants to break you down where he says, I'm going to ring the bell. I'm going to go back to drugs. I'm going to go back to alcohol. I'm going to go back to the relationships. I'm going to go back to what I used to know. This is too hard for me. And the devil's counting on it to break you down. He wants you to use your quit option. He wants you to ring the bell. My assignment today is to get you to remove the quit option. My assignment today is to get you to quit looking at the bell and, if possible, take the bell out of your sight, that there is no quit option. Listen, when you make up your mind, I'm not going to quit even if I die, that's when the battle is won. My God, somebody got to hear me. Hang on a minute, my OCD's kicking in. I think this thing was loose. There we go. All right. I'm sorry. Pray for me. All the time. I need it. That's when the victory's won. When you go ahead and decide, I'm not breaking. I'm not bending. See, that's what the Hebrews boy did. Remember the Hebrew boys? Daniel, when they threw him in the fiery pit, that's what they did. They said, our God can deliver us. Amen. Then they went a little further and said, our God shall deliver us. But then they crossed the line and removed the quit option and said, even if he don't deliver us, we still ain't gonna bow. Because we know that he still could. My God, somebody hear me. Hey. See, what you see, if you're in it for what you can get out of God, then you're gonna back out one day. When you can't get what you want to get. Well, I came to Jesus. I came to Jesus to save my marriage. All right, well, what if he don't save your marriage? What if he tried, but your spouse is too knucklehead? What if he tried, but you're too stupid? What if he tried, but nobody else wants to try? Come on. What about it? What about, I'm just at the bottom of, I'm just at the end of my rope. Well, what about when you get up the rope a little further? What about that? I've seen family after family that they get into crisis and they come to Jesus to see what Jesus can do for them, and he does for them, and they forgot what he did. Because let me tell you, I didn't get saved because I fell in love with Jesus. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. Well, I don't believe in hell. You better. If you believe in heaven, you better believe in hell. Well, I believe we're living in hell. If you don't know Jesus, this is your only heaven you will ever know. But if you know Jesus, this is the only hell that I will ever go to. And man, it ain't too bad. I'm enjoying, if this is my hell, I'm kind of enjoying it. Why? Because Jesus is in my life. All right? So you got to recognize, I will never ring that bell because I have nothing to go back to. See, I'm in a place. If he never does another thing for me, he's done enough for me. Now, I got saved because I was scared of going to hell. But as I served him out of fear, I got into his book and began to look at him. And there I serve him out of love. The man he first loved me. I ain't never had nobody love me like Jesus loved me. I've never had anybody do me like Jesus does me. I've never had anybody treat me like Jesus. See, I will never ring that bell because I ain't got nothing to go back to. Don't be offended, but my butt don't fit a bar stool no more. Come on, somebody. Don't be offended. But man, I don't fit in at the club anymore. I used to fit in. I used to drop it like it's hot. Come on. But I can't do it. I don't fit in there no more. Matter of fact, I get disgusted. My worst day with Jesus is still better than my best day in the world. If you feel that, you just got to remove the quit factor. You just got to decide, I'm not going to live like that. Listen, the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts chapter 20 verse 23 said, in every city would await trials and beatings and hungers, but none of these things moved me. He removed the quit factor. Well, I'm going to serve Jesus as long as everything goes my way. You ain't serving Jesus, you serving self. Because sometimes some things are not going to go your way. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he shall deliver them out of them all. In this life, Jesus said, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome them all. My peace I leave with you, not the peace of the world. See, listen, Paul said, I have made up my mind and I will not exercise my quit option. Well, Pastor, what God's got for me? I don't know, but you may have to go through hell week, like the seals, that's what they call it, in order to get your wings, in order to get your badge, in order to get your medal. See, you can remove the bell because I don't need it. The problem is if you keep the bell, if you keep the temptation always in front of you. Are you hearing me? If you keep it there all the time, when things get tough, when somebody makes you mad, when you're disappointed that your prayer didn't get answered, you didn't get what you wanted. I'm just upset. You keep looking at the quit option. You keep looking at it. You got to remove it. You got to remove it. Baby, I'll tell you, if you're an alcoholic, you don't need to be at the club. You don't need to keep no. I keep liquor in my house just so I can say. No, you don't need that. Well, I don't drink liquor anymore, Pastor. I just drink some wine cooler. You are so ignorant. And don't let me mix words here. You know, because I know sometimes my words can get confused and people don't understand exactly what I'm saying. If you doing that, you are stupid. I got to be careful. In the 11 o'clock service, I used stupid the other day. And one little boy looked at his brother. He said, Pastor Ronnie, you stupid. And the other boy looked back at him and said, yeah, and you are stupid. So I got to be careful. Paul said, in stripes above measure, cold, naked, besides all this, I have the cares of the church. And you would think that he would have said, I want to quit. One of these days, when Jesus appears, there is going to be a reward for Paul and a reward for you. See, we are people who need to be persuaded. And when we're persuaded, we're done. We're not going back. We're not stepping back. You can remove the bell because I'm persuaded. He said, we will have trouble, but we are not a bunch of victims. He said this thing. Woo! He said, this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind me. And I press forward for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Ah, glory to God. See, listen, baby, that's the problem. I remember my brother was, I almost said my brother was a Marine. You never say that to a Marine. My brother is a retired Marine. And he said to me one day, when I got saved, because we used to party together, he called after a couple of years that I was saved, and he said, hey, man. He said, I'm coming home on furlough. He said, are you still doing that Jesus thing? I said, yeah, man, I'm still doing that Jesus thing. He said, you sure about that? I said, I'm sure. He said, well, I'm coming home, and I was wanting to know if you could hook me up. I said, I can hook you up, bro. He said, for real? I said, yeah, we're going to go to church. Come on, somebody. Whew. Finishing your course, point number three. Marcus Luttrell, in the middle of Hell Week at Coronado Beach. Am I saying that correctly? Coronado. All right, I spelled it wrong. That's probably why I'm saying it wrong. Coronado Beach. He remembered being so exhausted, but he had crossed a bridge, he said in his book. He said, I crossed a bridge in my mind that I'll never ring that bell. And he said he would give you instruction after instruction, right after another. He said, finally, he was told, go to the staging area and wait for the next order. And when he got there, the place was full of soldiers in their Class A's uniform. And they were congratulating them, saying, you made it. You made it. Welcome to the SEAL family. Welcome to the Navy SEALs. And that's what it's about. Finishing your course. Finishing your course. Others, my God, somebody hear me. Others have been where you are and they made it. Oh, Pastor, nobody's been where I've been. Bull! Pastor, I just don't know if I can. Shut up! I was spending a little time with a little three-year-old boy yesterday and with his family, and we had just met, and we just really connected and bonded, and he did something. I was pretending like I was crying. I said, ooh. That little joker don't know me. He slapped me upside my head. He slapped me and said, quit that crying. I almost lost time. I almost went back to what I used to be. Come on, somebody. You ought to slap me upside my head. I'll knock you down. He slapped me. It kind of startled me. I ain't going to lie. Quit that crying. Some of you need to look at yourself and look at yourself in the mirror and slap yourself upside the head and say, quit your crying and belly aching. Remove the quit factor and stand up and be who God's called you to be, because you are more than a conqueror. Ah, they didn't ring the bell, neither did you. Other people have been where you are. And they made it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to make it. Look at your neighbor and say, I ain't ringing no bell. You can make it. You have to say in your spirit, I'm never going to quit. There comes a time in the process that will weed out everyone who is mentally weak. And I thought about some folks in this church. You're living for the Lord, but you're not going through anything yet. And if your mind is not made up, when the real battle comes, you're just going to exercise the quit factor. Why do they put themselves through that? Because they recognize that in war, they will be put in much worse. That they try to prepare their minds. They're like the one old preacher. He didn't have much education, but he said, I stays ready, so I don't have to get ready. Come on, somebody. You don't want to go through some training. Once you are in the battle, you want to already have gone through
through the training, and it becomes second nature. When you get hit, you just get back up. When you get pushed down, you just stand back up. When the devil pushes you on your knees, you lift up your hands and you begin to pray. You begin to glorify God. You want it just to be second nature. And you know what will happen? The devil will recognize that if I mess with you, I'm going to push you toward God instead of away from God.
Whoa. Listen. Where did it come from? That, listen to this. In the Afghanistan, his training took over because now he's in the battle. And he watches all of his buddies get killed. And he's run down by about 150 Taliban soldiers. He's now being pursued. And he jumps off a mountain, breaks his leg, fractures his back, has been wounded by gunfire, but he still keeps running. I'm going to tell you right now, I twist my ankle. I'm ready to lay down. Woo. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Lord Jesus. Yes. Come on now. I twist my ankle. Come on, somebody help me. Help me, somebody. Good Lord Jesus. My boy shot, broke leg, fractured back, but he keeps going. He's like the ever-ready bunny. He loses consciousness. But when he comes to himself, I got to survive. Whew. My Lord, somebody hear me. He tells his body, because he's already pushed it to the brink. He tells his body, shut up and run. Shut up and perform. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a spiritual battle like that. I've had to talk to myself. I've had some conversations. I've had some yelling matches with my flesh. When I wanted to give up and when I wanted to throw in the towel, and I'd have to talk to myself, you big sissy, shut up. I know y'all might not talk to yourself like that. Sometimes I got to. I got to talk. My spirit takes over. The Holy Ghost warrior inside of me takes over. You big wimp, shut up, suck it up, and move on.
Well, but I've been hurt.
Shut up. Man, if I quit every time a church person hurt me, well, you know, listen, let me go and tell y'all something. Pastors ain't the only one who hurt people. People hurt people. And sometimes people hurt pastors. Oh, I've been wanting to tell some of y'all that for a long time. He withstood 150 Taliban with a broken leg and a gunshot wound. And he said this. My God, y'all got to hear this. He said, I didn't win the battle that day. I won the battle back on the beach. Whew. He won the battle back on the beach. He said, I won the victory back on the beach when I decided I would never quit. That I would never ring that bell. And as his watched his buddies as they fought, he said not one of them gave up until the last minute they fired and they fought because they had crossed that bridge. And I went back in my mind to the moment at the beach that I wanted to ring the bell. And I decided that I crossed the bridge and said, I will never ring that bell. I was deciding today that I'm never going to ring that bell. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is where he won the battle. It was through prayer. It was through an intimate time with God. When he was saying, I don't want to go through this thing. His body knew what pain meant. He knew what the crucifixion was going to imply. He knew what it was going to entail on his body. And he said, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus didn't win the victory on the cross. He won the victory at the Garden of Gethsemane. You got to recognize that if you're going to win, it might not be in the middle of the battle. You better win before you ever get to the battle and declare, I'm removing
the quit factor. My God, I'm preaching better than your amen. Woo! Excuse me. I know I'm gonna make some folks who don't like guns real nervous, but right now I wished I had a gun. I'd just be shooting that bad boy. I don't know, man. I just feel like a victory. Woo! Hebrews put it like point number four. Let me finish. Come on, help me close so I'll shut up. If you're going to serve the Lord, you've got to remove the quit factor. You've got to remove the quit option. Hebrews put it like this: we are looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus endured. Jesus never would ring the quit option. All he had to do was ring the quit option, and a legion of angels would have came in, would have swooped down. But he said, I've got to finish this thing. The whole world is depending on me. Can I tell you, your whole world is depending on you. Your whole world. I didn't say the whole world. Your whole world is depending on you. It's depending on you not giving up. Hebrew goes on to say, consider him unless you become weary and faint in your mind. When you get in your battle and you're in the middle of your hell week. Consider how Jesus endured. And I thought about marriages. And if you're going to have a successful marriage, you got to remove the quit option. Well, I'm going to get married, and if it don't work out, no. I'm going to remove that. See, because once you do in your mind that if you want to have a successful marriage, well, I'm pastor, I'm not happy. I just want to quit. No. Other married people are miserable and we want you to be too. No. No, man. But here's the deal. I mean, I've been married 32 years. I mean, I've thought a couple of times about killing her. She watches forensic files all the time to see how to get rid of me and not go to jail. Nah, best thing I've ever done was marry my wife. But let me tell you something. You got to remove the quit factor, because here's the deal. If you have the quit factor in there, you'll always think, well, we'll just quit. But if you know, if you're in a room with no escape and you know there's no escape and there's a fire, you quit looking for the escape route. You quit looking for the quit option, and you start trying to put that fire out. Same way in your life. You have to remove the divorce option. You have to say no matter what happens, because once you remove the quit option, across that bridge, you get a revelation that says, I might as well get along and like each other. I might as well be happy with my spouse, because we're in it for the long haul. I can't hold nobody else. I can't kiss nobody else. So I might as well enjoy kissing you. I might as well enjoy loving you. I don't know how I'm going to put this in the 11 o'clock service with my wife in here. I don't know. Because I know I love kissing her. And then that's going to get me in trouble right there if I say that. But that's all right. I'm used to staying in trouble. When you do, you'll get all the other stuff. Over that stuff. Don't ring that bell. Listen to me, young person. Stay pure. Don't ring the bell. I'm going to give in. Let me tell some of you that ain't so young, but single. Stay pure. Well, pastor, if I'm going to get married, you know, nobody buys a car without trying the car out. Yeah, but nobody wants to buy a car with 100,000 miles on it. Stay pure. Don't give in to what everybody else is doing. Remove the quit option. I wonder, in the 11 o'clock service, when all of our graduates, I wonder how many wanted to quit. But they didn't. Remove the quit option. Remove the quit option. You have to teach yourself to say, I don't know how to quit. Because listen to me. Quitting becomes a habit. But so does succeeding. So succeed. Succeed. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet in this place. Come on, bow your heads with me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've been thinking about quitting. Maybe you're here today and you don't, you're not where you need to be with Jesus. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. But if you don't know Jesus and you want to, I want to invite you to get to know him today. I want to invite you to pray a prayer with you so that you will know Jesus. If that's you, lift up your hand in this place. You can put it right back down. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that one. God bless you. I see that one. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe you're in this place and you say, Pastor, I've quit on God, but nobody really knows it but me and God. And I need to get it right. Would you just come on, lift up your hand and put it right back down. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that one. God bless you. I see that one. God bless you. Everybody in this building, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you. And I ask you to save me. Forgive me. Make me whole. I ask for your blood to be applied to my life. And I'll never be the same in your name. Amen. And amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.